Good evening and welcome to the 12-week Unleashed Behind the Book interactive 30-minute conference call. We're in chapter 7 on week 7, and we all know that 7 is God's perfect spiritual number. I'm Michael Deer, the author of the book, and you can visit unleash.michaeldeer.com to get updates as well as archived recordings of previous weeks. Connect on Twitter at Unleash Today, where I send out inspirational tweets every single day. I just sent a couple out before, and you can look at the videos on YouTube at Dear Live. Okay, today we're talking about imagination, which begins the second part of the book, or the third part, which is the vows. Now, the previous chapter and the previous section of the book focused on the supply. Remember, we're talking about the divine flow. And what are we talking about when we talk about the divine flow? Is God's systematic plan for doing great works and for doing mighty things, for doing extraordinary works and feats throughout the earth. And so there's two parts to that. The first part is God's supply. And we discussed that the previous 2 weeks by talking about inspiration as well as revelation, the power to know and the power to do. And we shared that God's end of the bargain is to supply us with revelation and inspiration. And that he does without any problems. His flow is continuous. His flow is at 100% always. The problem I found, as I discussed and went through scripture, the problem is with us. And this is the section that we come to now where we discuss the human element of the divine flow, where the vows that we can affect and we can acknowledge, we can practice and take full advantage of, we discuss those vows. And they are imagination, creativity, and articulation. Now, those sound like pretty crazy big words, but we'll get through it. And articulation simply means translating it. We're talking about doing great works for the Lord. We're talking about taking what's in our mind and making it physical and building an army of supporters around it. Now, I share on page 77 that imagination is definitely more than just child's play. I suggest that adults who have put imagination off to the side as some sort of childhood affair should really take a good look at this gift that God has given us, really so that we can be on the cutting edge of not only the things of God, but the things in life. I explain in page 78 in paragraph 2 that imagination has been mistreated, in my opinion. Some have kicked it to the curb, as I read, as the antithesis of maturity, the opposite of maturity. It has been written off as a childish obsession. Albert Einstein said that imagination is greater than knowledge because knowledge is limited, but imagination opens the doors to limitless possibility. And there you have it. Right out the gate, the reason why imagination is so powerful is because imagination is limitless. Once you acknowledge it, imagination allows you to know about things that human knowledge hasn't reached or discovered yet. And that it's because imagination is completely uninhibited when you recognize it and when you appreciate it. That's what Albert Einstein said. On page 79 to 80, I share that imagination and creativity have been mistaken. And in some phases or some places in life, the definitions are very close that it's hard to separate them. But for the purpose of this book and for the purpose of the divine flow and explaining it, I share the very precise difference between imagination and creativity. Because we can often say a person is imaginative, And we can often say that same person is creative. But there is a difference, and I go to highlight that difference in page 79 and 80. And I share that imagination deals with more of the unseen thoughts that you are able to envision in your mind. One person, if we were to profile a person or look at an individual who is imaginative, we think of that person as having their head tilted to the side. And I share a character, her name is Carla, and I share that with a soothing voice, you know, her legs folded and looking up into the sky and wondering, I wonder what would happen or what can happen. And a very airy and otherworldly kind of view to who you are when you're imaginative. On the other side, I discuss a gentleman, his name is Peter, and he on the other side isn't imaginative, he's creative. And we all know the Peters, right? Free-thinking, probably very opinionated, asking the question why for everything, sometimes pushy, sometimes flippant, sometimes overconfident, and usually doesn't respect time, doesn't respect people's opinions, or, cuts people off when they're speaking. Now, we might say both individuals are imaginative, but one seems to be more creative and the other seems to be more imaginative. And that's because creativity deals with taking the thoughts that you have in your mind and turning them into reality. So for the purpose of the book, imagination deals with thinking the thoughts that are unreal. But creativity goes a step further because it has within it the boldness, the arrogance, if you will, the drive, if you will, to combat the naysayers, the spectators, and the status quo, to bring a thought that hadn't been thought yet into reality. And so what I share is that we need to harvest and capture some of that boldness and confidence and even arrogance and use it properly. There's a proper way to use it. And that's because creativity is not just about making things that are in your mind physical, but it's also about having the ability to withstand the opposition of doing something for the first time. Why is imagination important? Well, you'll find the answer on page 80, paragraph 2, where I share that God shares his mysteries with us, and they are actually mysteries. They transcend our comprehension. What imagination does is it frees us from the chains of logic and reason, which tie us to the structure, rules, and most important, the limits of this world. So when you're dealing with the Lord, you can't do it without imagination. Any interaction or engagement that you have with the Lord, believe it or not, you're using your imagination. And we can go back to the first part where I shared that people don't acknowledge it and the power thereof. We couldn't do anything that we do with the Lord without it. And I go forward to share that and to expound upon it on page 82, if you turn there with me. Here are some of the ways that we interact with the Lord, and we couldn't do it without imagination. We have dreams. We have visions. We have revelations. We have prophecy. We have worship. And we have spiritual warfare. When you dream, our subconscious mind takes over. When you have visions, you're most times thinking about things that aren't real. When you have revelation, God gives you the ability to see beyond your natural sight. In prophecy, the Lord gives you the ability to see symbols and decode messages from him for his people. In worship, you see the words to the songs that you sing lived out before you in the spirit of your mind. And in spiritual warfare, very important, You win a spiritual battle in your mind before you open your eyes. So that when, as winning that battle in your mind, you carry that over to victory in your physical life, as well as prayer. When you ask the Lord for something, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that we first must believe that he is before we can believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Imagination is so important to us because it allows us to be a part of the cutting edge. In his book, The Law of Success, Napoleon Hill reads a story, and it's a fascinating story on page 85. I promise you, you'll be inspired. I don't have time to read through it right now, but I hope you will bookmark that page 85, the story about the clergyman, Mr. Gonzalez. On page 86, I share another important fact and another important element of imagination. This is why imagination is so important. If you look at page 86 and paragraph 2 and 3, I share that the gap between the designer and the consumer is so huge. Whenever a building is built, the architects, the engineers, the construction workers, they have dealt with that building for years before it actually was constructed or erected. And by the time it's finished, to those designers, construction workers, and engineers, that building that inspires awe in every tourist that sees it is old news, because they had the ability to imagine it before it was built. And so I share that the gap between those who use their imagination and those who don't is a huge gap. In fact, the people who live and accept and acknowledge and work with their imagination, those are the individuals who create the future. And this is where I pause to say, the future is being created by people right now. Where's your hand in creating the future? It's through imagination that you're able to live out things that have yet to be reality in your mind in the present. Page 87, I share another painful consequence of not using or giving in to your imagination or accessing and practicing the use of your imagination. The disciple Thomas, when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, the word of the Lord lets us know in St. John 20 and 25 and 26 that Thomas, because of his disbelief and because he didn't have the ability to imagine that what the Lord said was true about his resurrection could actually be real, the Bible lets us know that he was 8 days late in his belief. And I share on page 87 that because he did not use his imagination, because he did not give in to believing that what he didn't see could have been real, but he needed to see it, he was 8 days late. 8 days that he could have been using to be inspired and to share the good news of the Lord and his resurrection, Thomas, because he didn't use his imagination, was late. The other disciples were moving and teaching and preaching and proclaiming, but Thomas, he needed proof because he did not have the gift of his imagination at work. So in the same way, people who do not imagine are always late. People who do not use their imagination will always be last. They won't be on the cutting edge. If you look at how we got the phone, there was a time where every single phone we had a line on it. Now, could you imagine the person who thought of having a wireless phone or cell phone? They first had to imagine that you could make a call on the device without a cord. Now, if you could imagine them telling their friends, in a time where every single phone had a cord, it wouldn't be as easy as it is for us to talk about wireless devices, right? Well, that person had to first imagine that they could create a phone that didn't have a wire. And guess what? Those individuals went to work on creating and producing this idea that was found in their imagination. And lo and behold, those are the individuals who created the future. I heard recently that now we're having smartphones, but beyond smartphones, they're making smart watches. And Google actually is making, producing and manufacturing even now a glass.
Yeah, Google Glass.
Google Glass, where you can actually see things and get a read-up of it, and it's on the screen, the display that goes over your eye. And when I saw it, I said, the future is here. Because people are creating the future, and they're not waiting for what they can see, but they are using the gift of their imagination to bring the future into today. So my encouragement to you is that you practice your gift of imagination to bring the thoughts and the ideas that God has given you into reality, and know that it is possible even though it's not seen yet. My last, the last section I share on page 88 and beyond, on page 89, I share in detail some of the qualities that we can learn from our young people, and particularly our children. Children know what they want, and I read the list on page 89. Children know who they are, even though some adults would think children aren't much, but they know who they are. They're confident in who they are. Children want to learn. Children know who their guardians are. Have you ever seen a child and someone offers them candy? What's the first thing they do? Look up to mommy and daddy, right, before they take that candy. Children know how to dream. Children will find a way or make one to get what they want. Oh, don't we all know that's true? Children will find a way or make one to get what they want. I can't tell you how many times I got in trouble because I gave my girls candy when I wasn't supposed to. But they found some way, you know, whether it's through tears or whether it's through that little pouty face or doing something cute or just really gaining my appreciation. I couldn't hold it back from them, and I got in trouble. Because they know how to get what they want. They stop at nothing. Children aren't programmed with any limits, and that's most important. Understand today on this call that limits, my brother and my sister, are taught. Children are taught limits. They grow up programmed with unlimited possibilities, but we, through our laws, regulations, our teachings, lessons, teach them what not to do. And by the time they become 18, most of those dreams and most of those visions that they had, most of those uninhibited thoughts are limited by what we've taught them. So just remember that our gift of imagination is that quality that allows us to be a part of the cutting edge, that allows us to be a part of the in crowd that will create the future. Remember, again, the future is being created right now. Where is your part in it? Thank you. At this time, I'll open.